is it?" a voice called. A woman's voice, apprehensive. Harper went into her pocket and came out with her badge. It was backed with a slip of leather, the same type of gold-on-gold shield Lamar had clicked against Reacher's car window. The eagle at the top, head cocked to the left. She held it up, 6 inches in front of the spy hole.
"FBI, ma'am," she announced. "We called you yesterday, made an appointment."
The door opened with the creak of old hinges and revealed an entrance hall with a woman in it. She was holding the doorknob, smiling with relief.
"Julia's got me so damn nervous," she said.
Harper smiled back in a sympathetic way and introduced herself and Reacher. The woman shook hands with both of them.
"Alison Lamar," she said. "Really pleased to meet you."
She led the way inside. The hall was square and as large as a room, walled and floored in old pine which had been stripped and waxed to a fresh color, a shade darker than the gold on Harper's badge. There were curtains in yellow check gingham, sofas with feather-filled pillows, old oil lamps converted to take electric bulbs.
"Can I get you guys coffee?"
Alison Lamar asked.
"I'm all set right now," Harper said.
"Yes, please," Reacher said.
She led them through to the kitchen, which was the whole rear quarter of the first floor. It was an attractive space, waxed floor polished to a shine, new cabinets in unostentatious timber, a big country range, a line of gleaming machines for washing clothes and dishes, electric gadgets on the countertops, more yellow gingham at the windows. An expensive renovation, he guessed, but designed to impress only herself.
"Cream and sugar?"
she asked.
"Just black," he said.
She was medium height, dark, and she moved with the bounce of a fit, muscular woman. Her face was open and friendly, tanned like she lived outdoors, and her hands were worn, like she maybe installed her own ranch fencing for herself. She smelled of lemon scent and was dressed in clean denim, which had been carefully pressed. She wore tooled cowboy boots with clean soles. It looked like she'd made an effort for her visitors. She poured coffee from a machine into a mug, handed it to Reacher, and smiled. The smile was a mixture of things. Maybe she was lonely, but it proved that there was no blood relationship with her stepsister. It was a pleasant smile, interested, friendly, smiled in a way Julia Lamar had no idea existed. It reached her eyes, which were dark and liquid. Reacher was a connoisseur of eyes, and he rated these two as more than acceptable.
"Can I look around?" he asked.
"Security check?"
she said. He nodded.
"I guess."
"Be my guest."
He took his coffee with him. The two women stayed in the kitchen. The house had four rooms on the first floor, entrance, kitchen, parlor, living room. The whole place was solidly built out of good timber. The renovations were excellent quality. All the windows were new storm units in stout wood frames. The weather was cold enough that the screens were out and stored. Each window had a key. The front door was original, old pine, 2 inches thick, and aged like steel. Big hinges in a city lock. There was a back hallway with a back door, similar vintage and thickness, same lock. Outside, there were thick, thorny foundation plantings he guessed were chosen for wind resistance, but were as good as anything for stopping people spending time trying to get in the windows. There was a steel cellar door with a big padlock latched through the handles. The garage was a decent barn, less well-maintained than the house, but not about to fall down any time soon. There was a new Jeep Cherokee inside, and a stack of cartons proving the renovations had been recent. There was a new washing machine, still boxed up and sealed, a workbench with power saws and drills stored neatly on a shelf above it. He went back into the house and up the stairs. Same windows as elsewhere. Four bedrooms. Allison's was clearly the back room on the left, facing west over empty country as far as the eye could see. It would be dark in the mornings, but the sunsets would be spectacular. There was a new master bathroom, stealing space from the next-door bedroom. It held a toilet and a sink and a shower, and a tub. He went back down to the kitchen. Harper was standing by the window, looking out at the view. Alison Lamar was sitting at the table.
Okay, she said.
Reacher nodded.
Looks good to me. You keep the doors locked?
I do now. Julia made such a fuss about it. I lock the windows, I lock the doors, I use the spy hole, I put 911 on the speed dial.
So you should be okay, Reacher said. This guy isn't into breaking doors down, apparently. Don't open up to anybody. Nothing can go wrong. She nodded.
That's how I figure it. You need to ask me some questions now?
That's why they sent me, I guess.
He sat down opposite her, focused on the gleaming machines on the other side of the room, desperately trying to think of something intelligent to say.
"How's your father doing?" he asked.
"That's what you want to know?"
he shrugged.
"Julia mentioned he was sick."
She nodded, surprised.
"He's been sick 2 years. Cancer. Now he's dying. Almost gone. Just hanging on day by day. He's in the hospital in Spokane. I go there every afternoon."
"I'm very sorry."
"Julia should come out, but she's awkward with him."
"She doesn't fly."
Allison made a face.
"She could get over that, just once in 2 years. But she's all hung up on this step-family thing, as if it really matters. Far as I'm concerned, she's my sister, pure and simple. And sisters take care of each other, right? She should know that. She's going to be the only relative I've got. She'll be my next of kin, for God's sake."
"Well, I'm sorry about all that, too." She shrugged.
"Right now, that's not too important. What can I help you with?"
"You got any feeling for who this guy could be?" She smiled.
"That's rather a basic question."
"It's rather a basic issue. You got any instinct?"
"It's some guy who thinks it's okay to harass women, or maybe not okay exactly. Could be some guy who just thinks the fallout should be kept behind closed doors. Is that an option?"
Harper asked. She sat down next to Reacher. Allison glanced at her.
"I don't really know. I'm not sure there is any middle ground. Either you swallow it or it goes public in a big way." "Did you look for the middle ground?"
She shook her head.
"I'm the living proof. I just went ballistic. There was no middle ground there. At least I couldn't see any."
"Who was your guy?" Reacher asked.
"A colonel called Gascoigne," she said. "He was always full of shit about coming to him if anything was bothering you. I went to him about getting reassigned. I saw him 5 times. I wasn't pleading the feminist case or anything. It wasn't a political thing. I just wanted something more interesting to do. And frankly, I thought the army was wasting a good soldier, because I was good."
Reacher nodded.
"So what happened with Gascoigne?"
Allison sighed.
"I didn't see it coming," she said. "At first I thought he was just kidding around."
She paused, looked away.
"He said I should try next time without my uniform on," she said. "I thought he was asking for a date, you know, meet him in town, some bar, off-duty, plain clothes. But then he made it clear, no, he meant right there in his office, stripped off."
Reacher nodded. "Not a very nice suggestion." She made another face.
"Well, he led up to it pretty slow, and he was pretty jokey about it at first. It was like he was flirting. I almost didn't notice, you know? Like, he's a man, I'm a woman, it's not a huge surprise, right? But clearly he figured I wasn't getting the message. So then, all of a sudden, he got obscene. He described what I'd have to do. You know, 1 foot on this corner of his desk, the other foot on the other corner, hands behind my head, motionless for 30 minutes. Then bending over, you know, like a porno movie. Then it did hit me. The rage. All in a split second, and I just went nuclear."
Reacher nodded.
"And you busted him?"
"Sure I did."
"How did he react?"
She smiled.
"He was puzzled more than anything. I'm sure he'd done it lots of times before and gotten away with it. I think he was kind of surprised the rules had changed on him.
Could he be the guy? She shook her head.
No. This guy is deadly, right? Gascoigne wasn't like that. He was an old, sad man, tired and ineffectual. Julia says this guy is a piece of work. I don't see Gascoigne having that kind of initiative, you know?
Reacher nodded again. If your sister's profile is correct, this is probably a guy from the background somewhere.
Right, Allison said. Maybe not connected with any specific incident, maybe some kind of distant observer turned avenger.
If Julia's profile is correct, Reacher said again. There was a short silence.
Big if, Allison said.
You got doubts?
You know I have, she said. And I know you have, too, because we both know the same things.
Harper sat forward.
What are you saying?
Allison paused.
I just can't see a soldier going to all this trouble, not over this issue. It just doesn't work like that. The army changes the rules all the time. Go back 50 years, it's okay to harass blacks, then it's not. It's okay to shoot gook babies, then it's not. A million things like that. Hundreds of men were canned one after another for some new invented offense. Truman integrated the army. Nobody started killing the blacks who filed complaints. This is some kind of new reaction. I can't understand it. Maybe men versus women is more fundamental, Harper said.
Allison nodded.
Maybe it is. I really don't know. But at the end of the day, like Julia says, the target group is so specific, it has to be a soldier. Who else could even identify us? But it's a very weird soldier, that's for damn sure. Not like any I ever met. Really? Harper said. Nobody at all? No threats, no comments, while it was all happening? Nothing significant, nothing more than casual bullshit, nothing that I recall. I even flew out to Quantico and let Julia hypnotize me in case there was something buried there, but she said I came up with nothing.
Silence again. Harper swept imaginary crumbs from the table and nodded.
Okay. Wasted trip, right? Sorry, guys, Allison said.
Nothing's ever wasted, Reacher said. Negatives can be useful, too, and the coffee was great.
You want more? No, he doesn't, Harper said. We've got to get back. Okay.
She stood up and followed them out of her kitchen, crossed the hall and opened her front door.
Don't let anybody in, Reacher said.
Allison smiled.
I don't plan to.
I mean it, Reacher said. It looks like there's no force involved. This guy is just walking in, so you might know him. Or he's some kind of a con artist with some kind of a plausible excuse. Don't fall for it.
I don't plan to, she said again. Don't worry about me. And call me if you need anything. I'll be at the hospital afternoons, as long as it takes. But any other time is good. And best of luck.
Reacher followed Harper through the front door, out onto the shale path. They heard the door close behind them, and then the loud sound of the lock turning. The local bureau guy saved them 2 hours' flying time by pointing out they could hop from Spokane to Chicago and then change there for D.C. Harper did the business with the tickets and found out it was more expensive, which was presumably why the Quantico travel desk hadn't booked it that way in the first place. But she authorized the extra money herself and decided to have the argument later. Reacher admired her for it. He liked impatience and wasn't keen on another 2 hours in the Cessna. So they sent the Seattle guy back west alone and boarded a Boeing for Chicago. This time there was no upgrade, because the whole plane was coach. It put them close together, elbows and thighs touching all the way.
"So, what do you think?"
Harper asked.
"I'm not paid to think," Reacher said. "In fact, so far I'm not getting paid at all. I'm a consultant. So you ask me questions and I'll answer them."
"I did ask you a question. I asked you what you think."
He shrugged.
"I think it's a big target group and three of them are dead. You can't guard them, but if the other 88 do what Alison Lamar is doing, they should be okay."
"You think locked doors are enough to stop this guy?"
"He chooses his own M.O. Apparently he doesn't touch anything. If they don't open the door for him, what's he going to do?"
"Maybe change his M.O.?
"In which case, you'll get him, because he'll have to start leaving some hard evidence behind."
He turned to look out of the window.